Hey folks, Tyler from Being This Person here. This is round two with Tiger Gruber, a guy with his own podcast, Talks with Tiger. I've plugged before, I'll put a link in the show notes, but you should check it out. It's not dissimilar from this one. It is a little bit more casual conversation, not as directed, but it is definitely a way to connect with interesting people. And I gotta say, he's a smart, very quick-witted and conversational man. He's doing good work. I'm proud of him, and I'm happy I got to meet him and that we got to do a second round. And it was both of us our first face-to-face podcast post-COVID. Although the facility that we recorded at, we ended up having, I think it was 3 6-foot tables between us. So it felt like we were all the way across the world from each other, but we really were in the same room. It was kind of nice to do that. It had been a while for both of us. I think you'll enjoy the conversation. I definitely do. It's a little short. We were rushed for time, but it still got all the points through. Again, he's a great conversationalist, so it made a good talk. At this point, I would suggest you, or hope that you would, subscribe and leave good ratings and reviews on whatever podcast feed you get us through. It does help. It is free. Just kind of exposure is the deal there. The other thing I would hope you do is maybe tell a friend. And as I say, not just about this podcast, but podcasts in general, because they are a good way of connecting with other people and learning about other people out there. For example, Tiger's podcast is one of them. I do have an email if you'd like to contact me. It is beingthisperson@gmail.com. All of those are lowercase letters, no spaces. I also am easily found on Facebook, Being This Person, and I have a website, beingthisperson.com, all lowercase, no spaces again. I also have a Twitter if you'd like to follow along. It is mainly for promotion of the show, but it does have some other things that show up, some retweets. Admittedly, been a little bit political lately. There's a lot going on, but it is @DonisTyler. So DONESTYLER, capitalize the D and the T. You should be able to find me out there. I also have a Patreon. This is a way to kind of help support the cost of the show because, you know, podcasts are not free for the producers. They're free for listeners majority of the time. But that is Patreon, patreon.com/beingthisperson. And for $1 a month, you know, I'll send you a personalized thank you note. And there's some other things beyond that. So why don't you check that out too? At that point, folks, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Let's roll the theme music. Question again, and welcome back. Who are you?
Yeah, my name is Tiger Gruber. It's honestly a pleasure to be back. I really enjoyed yours. Was the first person's podcast I've been on as a guest, and so this is very nice and cathartic for me to come back on, get some more questions, because I actually learned a lot more about myself doing your show than I anticipated, and that I did on other people's shows. So it was actually
a joy. So you've been on other shows since?
Yeah, I've been on a couple now.
It's always curious.
Yeah,
so I was curious. Here we go talking shop again straight out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. No, it was cool because I did mention you that I was actually reaching out to all other podcasters in Eugene.
Right.
And yeah, I just swapped with a couple of people and one person in California. We just did a Zoom for
nice.
And we just used one for both of ours. So it was fun.
Nice.
I've been having a nice time.
It is good fun. And it gets you out. Like I said, something we were talking about, something you can do right now.
Yeah.
And still be responsible and all that fun stuff.
I'm having a blast with it.
Darn conversation, right?
Does anyone ever ask you these questions? Like, have you had someone be you asking you, hey, who are you?
It's a very popular request.
Is it? But it hasn't happened?
No. Actually, what I do, plug my Patreon real quickly, is I have a Patreon. And so I just write... it's kind of essay form stories about my life and what's going on. And that's how people can learn through it.
And that's where you sell your feet pics you mentioned, right?
What's that?
That's where you sell your pictures of your feet.
No.
I'm kidding. That's your OnlyFans account. No, that's Patreon.
No, my OnlyFans account, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, my next branch out.
Okay, so then so someone will go to your Patreon, not for feet pics, but just to learn more about you.
Yeah.
And read stuff. Okay.
That's what it is.
My Patreon's feet pics, personally.
Okay.
People love it, man.
Hey,
people go crazy about
whatever
it.
Whatever sells.
It's free. It's a lot less harmful for the world than pornography, so I'm all for it.
Well, it is pornography, technically.
Feet? Come on. Come on.
It's fetish, right?
Yeah. There's some worse fetishes out there.
Oh, there are definitely worse fetishes and better ones.
And better. What's a better fetish than feet? I'm not a feet footish fetish guy.
I'm not a feet guy either.
But you know what? I don't have any ill intent for people who are feet fetish guys.
So what kind of fetish do you have?
Me?
Not even, yeah.
I'm a lot more wholesome over the years is what I've noticed, actually. Like, I've become more vanilla. I think in high school and stuff is when I'd, like, watch, you know, stuff that, like, you know, you come and then you're like, oh, my God, why did I look up? Whatever, big fat pregnant midget fucking a dino. No, you know, like, you know what I mean. Not obviously
just the worst stuff you can find.
Well,
but
not even the
internet.
Worst, but just definitely the craziest. Because yeah, I grew up with the internet.
Yeah.
But then over time, and now that I'm in a 3-year relationship, I'm like, I don't know, butts in yoga pants or something. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm very happy and content. I think everyone, not everyone, but I think a lot of people probably go through a phase where they're like, what does the internet really have in store? To the point where on Reddit, I'll go through all these different porn. Like, if I ever come across one, like I came across Soundings, my most recent one. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I am familiar with Soundings, yes.
So I found the subreddit, and I'll go through. I'll go to the top of all time, and I'll click on the first 100 posts of any porn subreddit I come across. Not even to jerk off or anything, but just to, it's interesting. Like, really? People get off to this sort of stuff. There are the craziest porn subreddits you will ever find. And I'm like, all right, interesting. That's almost a fetish that I'd shame, like kink shame, because I'm like, be kinder to your urethras, guys. It's, come on. And girls.
People are into things.
Like, people are into
gotta
things.
Let people like things.
Yeah, I'm not going to shame people for it. But
you know, I'm...
You're a sounder. You're a sounder. Admit it.
No, but I've done some very interesting things.
That's so funny. You've had
actually, I've vended at a kink fest for a while.
You've been to a kink
fest? I was vending for a while.
What would you... Shirts?
No, I was... This is my other side gig long ago when I was
making
all that stuff out of inner tubes. And
what? What was it?
Anything you normally have made out of leather, made out of inner tubes.
Inner tubes.
So everything from handbags and wallets and belts to whips and vloggers and such, which
wow.
is how I ended up vending it. So yeah,
that's
you're
hilarious.
Not
going to
surprise me with any of that Reddit shit.
That's hilarious, man. Out of like, so you'd buy inner tubes that people like go on the river with.
Oh no. Like old bike tubes and car tires and truck tubes.
And you'd sell it to some nice, wealthy, older couple.
Cut it up
and 80-year-old fat people, and then they just go whip each other with it?
All sorts of people.
Nice.
All
that's cool, man.
But that's not about me. See, here you go, turning it on me again.
Pretty good at that. I'm going to do that more often than you expect with this show. So I'm pretty wholesome these days. I think I've been lucky enough to, even just with, like, the one partner that I'm with right now, I've lived out most of the kink or fantasies that I've kind of been like, ooh, am I interested in that? And the answer is usually no, you know? I think that's at the end of the day. I think a lot of people have fantasies, and then as soon as you live it out in real life, you're like, I don't like this in the slightest bit.
It's very true about all fantasies, though, don't you think?
I think my fantasy about having $1 million, I will be like, nice, this is sick. I doubt that I'll be like, oh, man, I hate having this money. Sure would like to be broke-ass fucking poor and have to work all the time. Doubt that fantasy will be wrong. That's the one I'm pretty confident in at this point. You?
Don't you think it might be a burden?
No. What would be the burden of having all that free time to play on my sick OP1?
Record all the podcasts in the world.
I would. I mean, I already have the luxury of having a little bit of free time right now, which I'm very grateful for. But I want more. I want all the free time kind of thing. The only reason I want money is so I can have free time. I think most people want money for either beautiful women or time. I just want time. Because, like, there's that dumbass saying, which I hate and I'll never agree with, which is all the time in the world never bought all the money in the world never bought a second of time. But it does through healthcare and through not having to work 40 hours a week. That's buying time with money.
You know, so is you're selling time when you have a job. You're selling your time. That's part of what you're paid for.
Yeah. So if I have money, I no longer have to sell my time. But like you mentioned, actually, that you don't do super well when you have too much time on your hands.
Right.
So I do well. I think that's one of my superpowers is that could leave me alone with a month, no one there, almost nothing. I could just sit. I'd be happy as long as I had food and water.
You don't get idle hands doing devil's work issues?
A little bit of sunshine. Nothing.
Huh.
I mean, like, ideally, I'd like someone to talk to or music to play or TV to watch. But I would rather sit and do absolutely nothing for a month than work for a month.
Curious.
Yeah. So I just recently mentioned to you that I might be in the world of getting a job
market.
Yeah. And it'd have to be a job that I enjoy, like just enjoy talking to my coworkers and stuff. But if that fell through, I wouldn't go to the military because I obviously have a partner and I wouldn't want to leave her. But if for some reason I didn't have my partner and I didn't want to go kill children, I would probably be a monk or just like go join a Hindu monastery in like Kauai or something.
You know, you have to believe in the religion to be a monk, right?
It's kind of a prerequisite. Not Hindu. I mean, you can just go. I'd believe in it. I believe in it. You pretty much just chill all day. Because we went there, me and my partner. We went there and we both loved it. She just walked around. We got some cool ass sarongs or saris or whatever they are. And I'm like, damn, I could live here. Because just some sort of like, I'm curious. I feel like if you're in a Hindu monastery or in the military, you get the equal amount of like freedom in the sense that I wonder if you get so numbed to people telling you stuff that you just be living on autopilot in the military to where you almost are just like, or doing nothing because you just do stuff as soon as it's told, or the whole time it's always like, fuck, I gotta go do this now or this. Like, how brain beaten do you get in the military?
Depends on the person.
Yeah,
it depends a lot on the person.
That's what I'd assume.
But this is a great lead into the next question because you're kind of talking about it already. So the theme of this one is, can you define happiness or happy?
Can I define happiness? Happiness is or happy. Happiness is that moment. It's interesting because I always find whenever I'm happy and I notice and I tell myself I'm happy right now, it takes me out of the moment and then I'm no longer happy. I'd say kratom, opiates is happiness.
Opiates is happiness.
Yeah, that's happiness. That's happiness in an exogenous way, like something that you take. Like, here's some kratom right here. That's some dopamine that I'm going to drink and then it'll hit my brain and then bada bang, I'm happy. But endogenously, I think to be really happy, you need something to look forward to. I'm currently looking forward to getting an OP1 and something you currently enjoy doing. I'm currently enjoying speaking with you. So I think I'm happiest when I'm doing something I enjoy at least a little bit, even sitting, doing nothing, watching TV, scrolling mindlessly on my phone.
Well, that's kind of what we were talking about just a bit ago, is the sitting quietly makes you seem to be pretty at ease. And
yeah.
I won't meditate. Would you qualify that as happy?
The two things I don't do are meditate and read.
Or you enjoy, could be our president.
Or enjoy music. I also don't, to quote Angela from The Office, I don't enjoy the general spirit of music. I don't read and I don't meditate. kidding. Music's okay. But the point is, I'm like, I think just kind of doing something that I like. Like, I enjoy just scrolling through my phone, and I like having something to look forward to. I'm like, okay, I got a guest coming after this. I'm looking forward to speaking with the guest after I speak with you, you know? Like, that's when I find myself happiness. Also, obviously, in the throes of sex is obviously happiness.
maybe better defined as ecstasy.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it means.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. MDMA is pretty cool, too.
Well, I agree. definitely has its place.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, with all those moments of, like, if you were skydiving and you could be really enjoying it, there's just these one, there's, like, trigger thoughts that can immediately take you out of the moment. Do you ever experience those?
Yep.
Those are the weirdest things, man. You know, it could be like skydiving, sex, or literally anything where it's just like, as soon as you think, you're no longer in the moment and then you're thinking again. It's an interesting thing. And I think thinking is almost the antithesis of happiness. That's something I've kind of been gestating with, is being like, what if consciousness is the opposite of happiness? Because you're the happiest when you're almost not even thinking. You're just kind of going through. Like when you're in the car and you forget time.
Yeah.
I'd consider that bliss. You're in bliss. You're enjoying it. You don't feel any pain. If you felt pain, you wouldn't be able to disconnect from it like that and just kind of go, you know?
That's okay. Kind of. So I guess just the blissful moment, is there, I mean, like,
yeah.
Can boil it down, the moment of bliss that is often, it sounds like you believe, fleeting, because once your head kicks in, off you go. You're not in the moment anymore. I don't know that that's going to happen while skydiving. Yeah. I think that's you're going to be pretty attentive at least a couple minutes.
Yeah, I think happiness is when you're not there to experience it. You're just kind of going through the motions, but you just get to kind of think. Like, you know when you're in bed, but you're not asleep yet, but you're, like, thinking, and it just feels really good, and your body feels really good for some reason? It doesn't happen all the time, but you know that feeling?
I get it in the morning, actually.
Get it in the morning?
Oddly enough.
That's happiness. That's another time where you're, like, almost just disconnected from your body. You just get to experience hanging out and thinking. I really like that. That's my happiness, personally.
Okay. How does that, do you think that works for everybody else? Because it's very much an individual, not that it's wrong. It's very much an individual view.
100%. Do you have happiness?
What's that?
Do you agree? What would you be? You'd be your happiness then?
Oh, and not totally unlike you.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh. Okay.
When I'm in a moment and present in that moment.
Yeah.
In whatever way.
When you're selling that inner tube to that little sex demon.
that makes you pretty happy, I do have to tell you.
there's a little rise you get out of it. So wait, have you ever been in like a sex dungeon when that happens though? So you've sold it and seen people gone and use it.
Oh yeah.
Can you jump in there too, or do you have to like stay behind the vendor's table and just like just rock hard?
They're different spaces.
Covered in bike tires.
Like the vendors are over here and then there's another separate area.
And you can those are shut down right now.
Everything shut down.
Yeah,
right now.
I had a joke on Twitter. I didn't think those were real. I'm like, it's such a bummer that my 200 member sex parties are temporarily canceled because of this fucking quarantine. Now it's finally affecting my life. It was a joke. I didn't think those were real things. That's hilarious, man. Are they in like Eugene or in Portland?
This one was in Portland.
Wow.
I think it still happens.
Is it just a bunch of old and fat people? Because
it's a crazy variety.
Really,
it's a crazy variety of people. Yeah.
Is it mostly dudes?
No.
Interesting.
It's actually pretty decent split.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, well, that sounds like enjoyable.
And all spectrums of gender.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, I just imagine you go and it's a bunch of like older, heavier dudes all go there being like, huh. Not that that's a bad thing, but I imagine all the older, heavier dudes imagine that it's a bunch of younger people, you know, whatever. Because I'd go to those when I'm an older, heavier dude. I'm kidding. I'm just speculating.
You're going to get older and heavier first.
Yeah, I know. Like, that'll be fun. No, I don't know. Honestly, didn't think sex dungeons existed until this. Like, maybe, like, hypothetically, like in movies and stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah, people get together and have orgies. But, like, a dungeon. Who owns the property? Who rents it?
They still exist. People rent them. I have friends who
rent out properties.
Who rent out their basement?
It's
really beautifully done. Flagstone floors.
Wow.
Is equipment
it cold?
All around.
Flagstone
no.
floors like tile.
No,
this tile would be cold.
Heated down there.
Nice. So it's an actual dungeon.
Yeah.
That's interesting, man.
Different rooms: a medical room, of a pillow room.
Yeah. Someone approached you, assuming you're an online vendor selling tires or
inner
tubes.
I definitely did better in person.
Nice. And then they're like, hey, do you want to come to this sex? So you knew about you'd been to a sex dungeon first.
Yeah.
Then. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Dude.
So then, what's your kink?
Get on Reddit. All of them.
Like, really?
That's
so funny. Oh man. Okay. That's a. I'm scrolling on Reddit. I noticed that like 10 posts in a row are just you. Different appendages, put in different places, different things, different oils, and I'm like, why are all these inner tubes? Oh my god.
Now I get it. Right.
You're taking over the internet. That's goofy, man. Yeah, I think everyone's happiness is pretty similar. I don't know of anyone who's happy. I'm sure there's some fucking egghead nerds wearing their nerd goggle glasses and they're just happiest when they come up with an equation or something. But I think for the most part, most people are happiest when they aren't attached to their bodies and they just get to hang out and think.
Maybe that moment when those guys are doing that math equation, that's when they get their moment.
Yeah, I said I'm sure there's some freaks that do it like in super cerebral moments where they're like, aha, those moments feel good. I'm not going to lie. It feels good when you connect two dots in your life or like all those dots are around. You're like, oh, what am I going to do with this and this? And you're like, oh, boom, that'll work out really well. You know, that obviously feels really good. But I mean, like, you don't feel best after you like make a really good shirt. You're like, not that that's your thing, but like that's what you do for your
day
job.
That's what I do for a living.
That's what you do for a living. Like that doesn't bring you joy. You know, what I assume brings you joy is when you're, like, playing music probably brings you some joy, but almost when you're playing music and 5 hours goes by without you even thinking about it, like, there's no way it's 6 o'clock. Are you kidding? It was literally just 1 o'clock. that's happiness compared to it's an hour into jam practice and the drummer's being too loud and the bass and the fucking electric guitarist keeps tweaking his amps and pedals and you're like, dude, can you actually fucking play for 2 seconds?
You've been in a band before.
No, I haven't. I've just jammed with a couple people and that tends to how I've even been a drummer and I know that the drummers are always too loud. So I was trying to play really quietly and then it sounded really bad and people are like, just hit it. And then I'm like, hit it. And then it's like, they're too loud. And I'm like, you guys got to have pillows in your drums if you're ever going to have a fucking drummer with a live acoustic guitarist in a house. It's there's chaos, man. I don't understand. That's why I'm not a drum guy. That's why I'm getting the OP1. I can be the whole shebang on my own.
Does that make you happy?
Yes.
Being in control of everything?
That's so funny. So many people have been bringing that up lately. I mean, do you think you're I think everyone likes controlling their own lives in the sense that no one likes not having control over their own time and money and happiness. If you weren't in control of how you spend your time, I get to pick what time you wake up, where you spend your money, you wouldn't be happy. Everyone likes control over their time and money, and generally their body, too. You wouldn't be happy if I beat you. You wouldn't be happy if I took your money or made you wake up or go to bed at times. Everyone likes control over their own lives.
So the having control does make you happy, and you think that's a pretty universal thing.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly universal. I think anyone who says that control is not a good thing is a soy boy. No, I'm kidding. There's so many people who are like, that's just you wanting to control your surroundings. I'm like, I don't care about controlling my surroundings. I want to control myself. I want to be in control of myself, you know? I think that's an important thing. And, like, if I'm making music, yeah, I generally enjoy controlling the aspects of my record. Obviously, if I bring someone in to collaborate, I 100% give them control over it. But name a good musician who's like, oh, well, let anyone on this track, like Tame Impala, Kanye, they both collaborate with people, but overall it's their record. They're not like, oh, there's this random person on the street, hey, or girlfriend, you want to come just play on this? I don't care. I don't really care. It's like generally really good artists and people with who have cultivated good lives tend to control their own life is my understanding of it.
I would agree with you.
Cool.
I mean, people who have some control over power or potency in their own life, agency, for lack of a better word, is having control of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it does help people gain some sense of, you know, balance.
Oh, 100%.
And when you take ownership of something, it tends to make somebody a little bit, I don't know, more prone to be happy at least.
Yeah, I agree. And to the point where I don't want any control over other people because that's just responsibility I don't want to have. Even as far as advice goes, I don't give people advice in a convincing way without saying, and I don't care and I don't want to be responsible if this goes wrong, so just please don't take my advice. Like, I don't like in any way necessarily controlling other people's lives. I just like, you know, let's all just kind of... But here's this other thing. I believe we have 2% free will. This is this theory I'm coming up with, which isn't fleshed out at all. It was stemmed from the fact that someone's like, do you think someone who's been smoking cigarettes for 20 years has any more or less freedom to decline a cigarette than someone who's never smoked? And most of the comments were like, no, they have the same amount of freedom to do that. It's the same decision at the same moment. I'm like, I don't think they do, because I think 2 to maybe 3% of any given moment is free will, and the other 98% of your decisions.
Your circumstance?
Yeah, or yeah, just like past circumstances all cultivated up, and like for 20 years, you've someone's handed you a cigarette, and you'd be like, yes, you put it up and you smoke it. So you're so used to that, and you're not used to being like, no, thank you. But someone who's never smoked is like more used to saying, no, thank you. So we're in completely different situations. Like if you had never. Oh, you know, I don't know. I just don't think we have that much free will. I think we generally, we're a ship. And the destination, like the shore, wherever we are in 10 years, like the shore, the location we are in 10 years, we can veer at 2%. So if you just want to radically start veering yourself 2%, you can fucking almost change directions.
Right.
In a certain amount of time. But you can't immediately. You just can't. I think everyone's been on MDMA or whatever and had that night and been like, oh, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to start waking up early and exercising. And then you wake up and you're like, nah, I'm fucking good. I'm good, though. Thank you, though. Thank you, last me, for having so much faith in me. But I'm good. And I'm chill. How about maybe I'll work on getting there someday?
Someday, slowly, step by step. Not
immediately. That's my general understanding of controlling yourself. I think you have 2% of control over yourself in any given moment.
And the rest is circumstance and past experience.
Yeah, not even circumstance. Yeah, like, I guess circumstance is a part of it.
Predestiny?
It's not even destiny. Just like if I if I was your dad and I beat you every day from when the age of 2 till 18, and then you move out and have a kid and the kid makes you angry and you maybe slap him, I don't think it's a good thing to do, but can I really blame you? Because you've been programmed for 18 years that what a dad does when a kid's annoying is physically beat him. At least you didn't beat the kid. You slapped him because you use your 2% to restrain yourself as much as you can.
Right.
But to some extent, you're so programmed from your past that I don't believe you have 100%.
Well, and that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because it is,
that happens.
Measured. Yeah.
That's why I use. That's why I did it. But I'm like, you know, I believe everyone can be 2% better every time they're given an opportunity. Just a little bit better every time around. That's the goal. For me, at least, you know.
I like that goal.
Thank you.
I'm into that goal myself.
Yeah.
Can I just be a little bit better?
I wish I knew the questions beforehand. I would have tried to lead into each one better and better, and it's just boom, hit.
No, it
boom.
Works out really well because next question is, what can you do to help others be happy? Because I mean, I initially wrote it as make other people happy, but then I realized that's impossible.
I want to force other people to be happy. I'm going to tie them down
and
with,
make them be happy.
With Tyler Doan's trademarked inner tube handcuffs, actually, that I bought at this sick 2,000-person sex dungeon, where it was me and 1,999 women, all aged 22. It was wonderful.
I'm sure.
and then I'm going to force feed them MDMA and opiates until they're happy. That's how I personally share happiness.
Okay.
Now, I think
it might work, honestly, with the right people. It might work.
That's so funny. I think there's a handful of ways to spread happiness or make people other happy or encourage happiness.
At least help them be happy. Yeah.
One good situation for that is if I've seen a meme or a video or I've heard news and you share it with me or you show it to me in person or like, here's a great example. I've heard this fucking song. I think it's a great song. I didn't show you the song because I assumed you've heard it, but I like this song. You say, Tiger, you've got to hear this song. You'd love this song. You play it. I'm like, wow, that's an awesome song, man. That makes you happier. I've heard it before. Don't ever be the fucking person who's like, oh, I've heard that song before. It's okay. I've heard it before. Like, just don't be that person. Everyone, for some reason, for some fucked up reason, everyone tries to be that person who's already heard the song. I've already seen the picture. I've already heard that news. Just don't. Give it to people. You don't have to fucking lie. You don't have to say, oh, I've never heard that before. That's incredible. Be like, oh, I really like that song. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing it. You're not lying by saying that. You are thanking someone for sharing that, like a part of us. Like, you didn't know. I didn't know that you liked that song. You played it for me. I enjoy that song. And I enjoy that you'd share, like, a song that you like with me. That's the biggest way that everyone could start doing that would just have such a ripple effect. But everyone's so scared of not knowing something and being like, oh, you didn't know about it. It's almost like if I played the song for you that you'd heard before, and you don't tell me, oh, I've heard that song before. I'd be like, you haven't heard that song before? You fucking nerd. You should have heard that song. Everyone cool that I've ever known already heard about that song. But that situation never happens. No one ever gets in trouble for not knowing something. That's why the people who I suspect the most are the like stupidest are the people who never say, I don't know. You should say, I don't know so often. And you should very, very, very rarely, with conviction, be like, yeah, I know. I know this for sure. I know this answer. You don't. People need to be less sure and less confident. That's a good way to share happiness in my mind. Because if you showed me a song and I'm like, oh, I've heard it before, you're not happy. But if I'm like, hey, Y'all by Outkast, oh my God, this is an awesome song. Thank you for sharing this with me. You're like, yeah, I did do something good today. I shared a good song. That's one horrible little tiny example.
But it is that tiny blissful moment.
It is. And you can scale that up to anything. of just giving people the benefit of the doubt. If you text me 3 times and I don't text back, don't just be the guy who's like, oh, guess we're not friends anymore. Guess blah, 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 blah. Just text me a 4th time and then I'll text you back and be like, yo, hey, sorry, been busy. My cat had tuberculosis or whatever the fuck. So I was a little low, but it really means a lot to me that you reached out those 3 times. Sorry I never got back to you. Or I opened it and I was going to write it back and then, you know, something took my attention. You know how it is. And you'd be like, oh, awesome. You know, that's happiness. That's spreading happiness.
So again, giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Just always giving people the benefit of the doubt. Don't be the I know it guy. And further than that, reach out to people. Be the person who reaches out to someone 4 times. If I texted you and you didn't text me back, I'd text you again. There's no real limit. And after about 6 reach outs, you can just tell someone, hey, if this is bugging you, like, just let me know. I won't send any more. I've never had anyone be like, oh, no. Like, I've had guests who have wanted on my show. I've emailed them 12 times with no reply for like 10 times. But then in the 11th time or the 12th time or whatever, they'll be like, oh, sorry, I've been busy. I just took a trip to New Zealand, so my email has been out. But thank you very much for being persistent on this. Let's set up a show. And then I got another show with them, and we had a wonderful conversation. You know, unless someone explicitly tells you, I don't like you, don't assume that they don't like you. Stop reading between the lines. There isn't usually a between the lines. People are pretty simple at the end of the day.
This is also leading back to, I mean, although, yes, a way to help other people be happy by giving them the benefit of the doubt, but it's also leading back, it sounds like, to your own happiness.
Oh, yeah.
In that your life is easier. Things are smoother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My happiness is your happiness, and your happiness is my happiness. The closer we are, the more so that is a fact. Like, if we were partners, or if you were, like, a wife, like your wife or whatever, if your partner is really unhappy, good fucking luck being happy. You know? Honest to God. Good fucking
luck.
Well,
classic line, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But really, though, or whatever, however it goes, if you're living with another dude, or even if you're living with, like, male roommates, like friends, like when I was in college, like if one roommate's just in a pisser mood, like he comes home from school when I was up there, I was in college, and he comes home just, like, throwing his back. Like, you know those fucking people who they do the dishes loud when
yes.
they're angry?
Slam, crash.
Not even that loud. Just you know how loud they normally put dishes away, and you can tell it is about 10% harder. I fucking hate that, man. It's just the most little passive-aggressive anger ruins my mood. And I don't think I'm being sensitive there. Like, are the people trying to do it? Like, because if I'm ever in a bad mood, I don't do this anymore because I'm aware of it, but I've been in a bad mood and I do dishes extra hard, or I close the door a little extra hard.
Do you find yourself susceptible to that?
No, not anymore.
We all can be reactionary in things, and there are things that maybe you don't realize or ones that you're working on.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
But as soon as you recognize it in other people, then I recognize. Like, I used to, whenever I was 14 or whatever, I'm sure I'd do that. But then as soon as I live with someone, or like I notice someone else do it, I'm like, oh my God, I don't ever want to do that, you know? Because everyone's like, someone's mean to me, maybe I'll put them in a bad mood too. But it's like, yeah, that works if I did something, if I called you a two-bit liar or something or whatever, something that I didn't want to like say an actual insult for some reason. But like if I insulted you and then you were just like purposefully doing stuff, like you took my OP1 and you like chewed gum and spit it in there, like that'd be like, you know, you're just vindictive.
That's just a dick move.
Well, I have total respect for vindictive and revengeful people, but I don't have respect for misplaced vindictive and revengeful people. Like if my teacher was like, I saw all the answers were on Chegg, so I'm going to scratch all your scores and I'm going to make the final really hard, you know, and then you come home in a bad mood and you take it out on me and the roommates, like that's misplaced anger. I have no respect for that. Like, be in control. I now see people who get angry as losing control of their emotions. Like, are you really that childish that you can't even control your own emotions? Like, come on. You lose control of your emotions. You do dishes extra hard. Come on. And I'm not any special. I'm sure I do it. I'm sure I do it in ways that I don't realize. I do it mostly when I'm really cold, really hungry, really sleepy. And if I really need to pee, I'm pretty one-track minded where I'm like, I'll be kind of rude to someone. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I need to pee really bad right now. So, you know, always give people the benefit of the doubt. But God damn it, man. I just see, like, you've been around people who are angry. Like, there's no reason to ever yell at someone that I know of unless you're like, get out of the way or something like that. But if you're like, you big bully, if I'm like yelling at you, you're like, whoa, how about you chill the fuck out and get in control of your own emotions is how I see it.
So you don't think that there is an expressive nature to it? I mean, sometimes expression has to happen, I think.
Yeah, no, you know what? That's a really good point. But
even sometimes non-effective expression. Like, because like you said, yelling, you big bully is not effective.
Yeah, I don't think it's helpful expression.
But sometimes it has to come out, right?
Yeah, it could come out in more productive ways. Have you ever been in a dispute with a partner of yours and yelled at them and been like, oh, you know what? That progressed us along. We're doing better now. 5 minutes later, we're actually doing better than we were before I yelled. Ever in your life?
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work. I do think it's expressive, but again, I think it's expressive in not the right way. And I've been that guy. I say hurtful things all the time to people, but I don't yell it, and it's more subtle. But it's just fun to fuck with people sometimes in completely harmless ways. But I think just like anything that raises tensions. I was just recording a show with someone, and I was saying how like left wing, right wing, blah, 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 blah. Like, I really respect people who have guns. I think honestly, like, I think people who have guns tend to be really responsible people. I just don't want to be around them because it immediately raises tensions so much. If I'm with you and you have a gun, like, I have a friend who will just have a gun like in his cup holder, and then a cop pulls us over and there is a gun in the tensions are immediately raised. I don't ever want to be in situations where tensions are raised that much, or like we're being mugged. And I mean, I never have any money in my wallet, so I'm just going to call and cancel my debit card. So like, I don't care. I'd rather give him the money. But if my friend fucking pulls out a gun and then he has a gun, I'm like, I don't ever want to be in a situation where tensions raise that quickly. And I just like being in very chill, de-escalated situations. And so when I see people yell, I'm like, why are you trying to escalate things right now, bro? Come on, chill. Use your voice. Yeah, like if you calmly told me like, even just being like, that's not even yelling, but like, you're being a real pisser right now. Like, that elevates things to a point where you're like, whoa, how would you chill the fuck out? But you're like, hey man, I just really didn't like or respect the way you treated me right there. Like that's so much.
That's
hits
a way
you
more effective
too.
Way.
And it makes a stronger impact on you. That's the same reason I'll never flip someone off in a car, because have you ever flipped like, or even seen someone flip someone else off in a car? And what's their immediate response? Flip you right off back.
Right.
So I give people a thumbs down. You're like, you're a bad driver.
I shake my finger at them.
You feel bad.
I
yeah.
do this.
Yeah. But anything that shows anger, people are like, oh, yeah, I like getting angry too. And it's like almost like people are just having fun getting angry, when it's reality. I'm like, hey, we're all in this together. Let's be safe and make sure other people are safe, you know? So I don't ever see a reason to ever like flip someone off or get angry at someone, because I'm like, I just want us all to be happy and healthy, man.
Again, kind of just encouraging everybody to have their way in their space.
Yeah, that's generally where I'm.
Been a pretty solid theme so far.
It is. It is. Just respect people. Give them as much autonomy as they can.
Will you tell me about a happy memory?
That's a funny thing. I try to put the least amount of stock in my life into memory, so no. Obviously, I have memories that'll come up when I'm doing something. Like, I'm sure if I went to my high school and I walked into a classroom that I had a class, and I'd have memories in that classroom, but I put no stock, or like, you know, Skyrim.
Yeah.
I would, if there was a memory skill tree, I would put 0 points in it. And the first point would be have vivid memories or have visual memories or any of that. No points in it.
Really?
I see no point in ever thinking about the past.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not even to reassess, not to relive a moment, not to...
Mm-mm. You do? Like, you just, like, sit in bed and you just, like, spend a lot of time, like, reminiscing, being like, oh, yeah. And then you come out of that.
I definitely think of good times. Perfect example. My kid was reminiscing. I was over at his house the other day. Not the other day. Like, a week ago. It doesn't matter. Okay, anyhow, yeah. I was over at his house.
And breaking quarantine.
It's my kid.
Yeah, okay. Podcasts are technically essential business, but that is not
this
essential
is
business.
This is true.
Hanging out with a friend. This is essential business. Police officer, man. Boom. Arrested. No, okay. All right. I'll give you
kid.
The benefit of the doubt here.
And he just got a dog. Had to meet the dog.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, right. So we were reminiscing about something I'd gotten him for. It was a Hagrid on a motorcycle. You know Hagrid from Harry Potter. Of course you don't.
I've never seen Harry Potter or Star Wars. I watched Indiana Jones, though. I was the person who said I haven't seen Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, or Star Wars, or Lord of the Rings. But now I've seen Indiana Jones, and it's pretty good. But I won't watch the rest. Just to be that guy. I love
just
being that guy.
Just because you want
to
be that guy.
Love being that guy.
Either way, it was a toy that I'd gotten when we were extremely poor, and he was, you know, 4 or 5 or something. And he was reminiscing about that. I went home, and took a picture. Like, reminiscing? What's wrong with having the memories?
Nothing's wrong with it, man. I just choose to not be that person.
You don't even look at him at all.
No. I obviously learn from something in the moment, or if like a memory comes to me, I'm like, oh, I should have done that differently. I'll learn about it. Here's something. I'm one of those people with aphantasia where I don't have vivid. If you say, think of a beach right now, I can't think of a beach. If you say, or like, what's the most common one? Ever in movies, people are like, oh, I'm scared. I'll forget what their face looks like when someone close to you dies. That's a phrase I've never understood, because I've never been able to envision someone's face. I couldn't envision even my partner's face right now. She doesn't have a face in my mind. And if someone, the biggest thing was, and it made me so unspiritual for the longest time, when people would meditate and they're like, find your mind's eye. I'm like, and people would actually be like doing it. I'm like, are you guys fucking dumb as shit? Why do you lie? Is everyone around me lying? Or is everyone around me pretend, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't get it. And then eventually I learned I just don't have that for whatever reason. Or at the very least, it's extremely weak.
So you think that's part of the reason you put so little stock in your memories, or do you really
I think that's probably the first skill point in, like, you know, thieving. It's like, all right, 20% less likely to get caught in Skyrim or whatever, one-handed, do 20% extra damage. That'd be 20% more vivid imagery for memories and stuff, and I just never started putting points in there, man. I don't care. I'm happy. And that, you know, who knows which way it goes, causation of... If having bad that made me care less about memories, or caring less about memories made me not develop vivid imagery. But for whatever reason, I'm here and I'm happy with it.
I got to say, I never thought I'd get a no to that question. I mean, it's an interesting thought out no.
Yeah. Like, there's a purpose behind it. And to the point where I don't really respect people who put a lot of stock into memories, because I'm like, why? Why? What are you doing with all that time?
You never want to write a memoir or anything like that?
I don't think I could. I don't have that much. And here's the thing. To the point where I wrote a book, and it's awful. Do you know why?
Why?
I didn't describe anyone's clothes. I didn't describe the room. I didn't describe anything. It's literally pretty much a plot, like a plot outline. That's what my book was. And then I wrote a screenplay, which you're not supposed to describe that stuff. And the screenplay went really well because I didn't describe any of that. The most descriptive thing is you're supposed to say, like, 20s blonde hair for, like the lead female, right, or whatever.
Cast the character.
Yeah, like, literally cast the character. But you're not supposed to describe anything else or any situations, because that's very limiting for when they're making the movie. So my screenplay went really well, but my book is garbage. And that's why I don't read books. Why the fuck would I enjoy reading a book when it's all this descriptive shit and I'm just reading it and I'm like, who cares about the Rolling Hills, Steinbeck? Go to hell. You know, so.
Well, then don't read fiction. Read nonfiction.
Science? Oh, yeah. I've read some nonfiction. I just don't believe any of it. Everyone has an agenda. Like, who's that? You know that Matthew Walker guy, the sleep doctor guy?
I don't know Matthew Walker one.
So he's just some guy who's going around giving speeches at Google and on Rogan and all these different things about why sleep's good. And then you look into his work and it's been debunked by the fact that he has graphs and he cuts off part of the graph that disputes what he says. All these different books are wrong. Thinking Fast and Slow. Someone gave it to me and I read 10, not even 10 pages. I read 3 pages and I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on. It's just slow. Any book that's 200 pages that could be encapsulated in 20 pages, I will not read. It's a waste of time. And that's the one thing I like. That's why I want the money.
So you can have the time.
Yep, to do nothing. Just hang out, scroll on my phone, spend time talking to people I like, podcasting, playing around with music. I can't draw.
Oh, not at all.
Because I have no imagery. And I never knew why. I'm like, how can everyone draw so well? I've tried painting. I bought acrylic. I've even bought oil paint and canvases. Cannot in any way make a physical medium turn out well. Can't shape with clay, any of it. Can't do it because I don't have an image that I'm going for in my head.
So when did you discover this about yourself?
2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. And I found a whole community of people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a couple percent of the population just don't have – they just have a really strong internal monologue.
Right. But they never can't envision a beach ball or a – you know. Yeah.
Can't, but at the same time, it's funny because other people that I know that do have stronger – like I can say, imagine a beach and they're like, oh, I'm on a – like, you know, there's a beach in my head. They are the people that are like, oh, my internal monologue gets too loud or chaotic or I just want to shut it off. I've never felt that way. My brain always feels very clean and like I'm never like it's chaotic or anything. It's always just chill, which is interesting because it seems like the people with the loudest or strongest internal monologues, like a voice, which I obviously don't have right now. I'm talking
right
instead of thinking.
External monologue. Yeah.
But like when I'm just like if I didn't have headphones on, I was like doing dishes, I would obviously be thinking words. Apparently, other people don't think words. Do you think words when you're doing dishes?
I definitely think words.
But you know people who don't. Who like,
oh, yeah.
People say they think in like abstract emotions and yeah. concepts. And I'm like, how the fuck do you – what the hell is that? And I obviously think it's a spectrum because I can imagine sounds. I can imagine like boom, ba-doom, 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 boom, boom. Like I can imagine sounds. I don't know if complete 100% aphantasia can't imagine sounds. But I know I can't imagine smells or imagery or any of that stuff. So I think I'm at least – quite far on the aphantasia side of the spectrum.
Hmm. So what made you, I mean, did you just run across this? I mean, yeah. I ran across it by hearing somebody talk about they had it.
They had it, too.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of, someone and I looked into it, and everything they were just saying, I'm like, this is me. Okay, yes, this is me. That's also me. And I was like, it was kind of like hearing, like, that one other person who's, like, finally understands all those, like, really little minute things that no one ever under, like, even your best friend would be like, no, I have a mind's eye. Like, I'm actually meditating. I'm like, what? Like, I went to a Power of Eight session. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
You have eight people all meditating on a certain goal, like you, eight people, and you'd go into the center and you'd be like, I want to be back pain free in 2 months, or I want to not be in debt, or I want the fires in Australia to go out. And then everyone just meditates on it the best they could. And then you go around the circle and share what you're envisioning. And everyone would be like, oh, it was like I could felt my chakras blowing out of me and a tree was growing and all these things. And it come to being like, I just, you know, thought that I hope the fires in Australia go away for 10 minutes. And I felt like an asshole, but I also felt like everyone else was lying. And I'm like, I like being here because I feel like it's good energy, but everyone here is fucking full of shit. So then I kind of like just kept reading into it and learning more. And then I'm like, all right, so I'm just one of those people, which I like being though.
So does it help you realize that maybe they're not full of shit?
No, I still think they're full of shit. I don't believe it. I believe it, man. You know, I'll give people benefit of the doubt.
There you go.
But it still sounds like bullshit to me. Do you have imagery, though?
I do.
Pretty yeah. Vivid?
It depends.
So I say, think of a beach?
Yeah, I can do it.
And yeah. It's not out in front of you?
Nope.
It's in your head?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know.
Is it like translucent?
Where's your spirit running around in your body?
Is it translucent or something?
No. It's like I just picture a beach.
Where?
That's what Lincoln I'm City, about. Actually. This no, is the beach I'm thinking of.
No, but like where do you see it? Because that's what I don't ever understand about people who are like, oh, I see it, and their eyes are still open. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, I don't know
about?
That I see it, but about? I can I can build a mental picture of it, which is where you're stuck, where you don't.
Yeah. Like I obviously know what a beach looks like. I know it's like right. There's sand and then there's water, but I can't see it.
Oh.
I have no colors and no outline. Huh. I just intellectually like know what a beach is, obviously, because I've been to a beach.
If I spend enough time, I can hear it. I can smell
stuff.
It.
Anyway, Stu, do we have one question left?
We got one question left.
I hate memory all right. Stuff.
Oh, no, we've got two questions left.
Ooh.
But they're quick.
Cool.
Next one is, are you happy?
Yeah, I'm very happy. I've always been a very happy person. I think I've always spent my 2% of my free will veering toward happiness over most other things, such as being successful in classical ways and all those different things, whatever. In any given situation, if one of the opportunities leads to more happy, longer-term happiness and the other leads to something else but less happiness, I go to the happiness route.
You? Wouldn't you think most people would?
No. I think a lot of people purposefully like being sad. I think the vast majority of people, even when I got together with my partner, Kenzie, she would engage in cycles of sadness purposefully. Like she'd get a horse that she knew she would eventually have to get rid of, and then it comes around time to get rid of it and she'd be really sad. And like people get in relationships with someone in the military and then they go away and they get all sad. It's like you knew this was part of the cycle. Just enjoy, like you can enjoy feeling sad. Feeling a strong emotion is always a worthwhile endeavor for a human being. Like before you die, you want to experience all the strong emotions, but don't bitch about it. Enjoy being sad. You can enjoy being sad. I just hate when people engage in sad cycles and they're like, why am I so sad? I'm like, because you chose this. So I'm not trying to force like peg anyone into a circle here and be like, you cause your own problems. Life circumstances happen. If your dad beat you or whatever. I'm sorry for keep bringing this up. It's just like a really
it is kind of one of your favorite analogies.
It's just a really common thing. Like, obviously, right. The kid didn't fucking choose to get beaten there. You right. Know, like, he could be sad for reasons outside of his own. But I'm saying people also, beyond that, tend to engage in sad cycles. But again, I believe it's the 2%. If you've always engaged in sad cycles and you have that opportunity, that's what you're more likely to pick. So I don't think it's your fault.
But it's that you're being pushed in that way, and that's why you only have your 2%.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, but like, you know, two out of every 100 decisions, you could choose the happiness, and eventually 3 or 4 or 5, like, it could be more common to eventually get happy. And I think anyone can be happy within 5 years.
From zero.
Oh, I think if you're zero, you should just kill yourself. Restart. I'm so kidding. If you're on zero, just get a sleep cycle together, eat healthy food, get on whatever medication.
Make some life changes.
Yeah, make some life changes.
Of some sort.
Mm-hmm. But if you're like at a reason, if you're a 50, you're like, oh, whatever is going on. Like, okay, here's a good example. I know someone who is getting on SSRIs. He lives in California. I like the person enough. I don't respect him even in the slightest bit. But I'm like, reach out to everyone, and I like him. But as soon as I heard that he was getting put on SSRIs, I was like, I know why he's probably sad or depressed or whatever. It's because he's in a polyamorous relationship, so his girlfriend's out fucking other people. He doesn't have a job, so he just sits home playing video games all day. I'm like, if that is your life, playing video games while your girlfriend's going and getting fucking railed by other dudes, I can imagine why you'd be unhappy. How about you fucking change those things before you just say, oh, I guess I'm just a depressed person or I have depressive cycles. It's like, no, you pretty much engaged in those cycles. You know?
Well, I mean, the antisocial behavior part I can agree with. Mm-hmm. Causing the sadness.
Yeah, but you don't have to be.
The polyamorous relationship, man, give people the benefit of the doubt again.
I'm not gonna. that's one thing that I'll never understand. Or at least
I'll explain it to you someday.
Never agree. Yeah, exactly. People like that, man. And he was like one of those people, which is why I was like, I really don't respect you. You can be antisocial, but still have goals. Like, right. If I sit at home playing video games all day, I wouldn't be very happy.
True.
And I'd still do that someday. I'm not one of these people who don't. I'll eat a shitload of sugar and play a video game one or two days, you know? But and if I'm feeling antisocial, like, it doesn't have to be music. You could literally do anything. You should start just coming up with a game plan for a bicycle part or, like, just trying to vamp up your garage or literally anything. Having any sort of goal, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know? Last question.
So last question, yeah. What makes you happy?
Everything. I derive joy out of everything. I could stub my toe. I'd find a way to be happy for it. I enjoy feeling emotions. I enjoy feeling different qualia. I had someone on my show recently who's out of Stanford, and he's opening the Qualia Research Institute.
Qualia?
Any different sort of input, pleasure, pain, smells, feelings, emotions, anything. Just, you're a human being, and you're going to die someday. So would you rather die having not tried all the different qualia available to you, or would you like to try them all? And some of them may not be very enjoyable. They may be very embarrassing or very dysphoric or whatever, but it's still worth trying for a little bit as long as you're not stuck in that dysphoria forever. It can be moderately enjoyable to have a bad hour or an awkward hour.
And you have the experience.
So
unless you're you and you discount the memory entirely.
Yeah.
Anyway, right?
Yeah, very good point.
Caught in your own game.
but I don't discredit that. You know, I experienced it. I'm like, cool. Like, I learned from everything. Like, if I had a week-long coding boot camp, I would know how to code, but I wouldn't remember just sitting there coding. I wouldn't have the memory of coding. I would just know how to code. Like, I obviously learn from it, and I'm happy to have experienced it, but I don't care to relive it. I'm like, well, I've experienced it. And to that point, I don't think anyone can experience things, like, relive things that well. If you could remember and relive an orgasm well enough, you'd never need to fuck anyone again because you could just relive your orgasm in your memory, and it would feel as good as a real orgasm. So if I want to relive a moment, I just go do that moment again. So
that makes you happy?
That makes me happy. Just doing whatever.
Doing
just
everything that you can run into?
Yeah, just trying to enjoy as many the experiences as I can, no matter how, what they are. Just trying to have a mindset of, this is an experience. When no matter, if you just try it, when you stub your toe, you can immediately say, I'm not permanently injured. This will end. Yes, this is pain, but why is it hurt? It's just telling me not to do it again, which I already fucking know, body.
Right,
so you don't have to hurt. And then you just kind of look at it, and it just doesn't hurt as much. It's almost like this numb little tingly, you know, it doesn't feel great, but you can almost laugh about it and be like, that's kind of goofy. So just having that mindset toward any experience, good or bad, just being like, cool, it's an experience. Nice. Obviously, if my arm got cut off, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be like, fuck.
That might be a little bit more permanent.
Yeah, so that, like, obviously is not applicable to everything. If you're beaten, raped, you're dismembered, your arm gets cut off by a train, discredit what I'm saying. But for little things, I generally think it's applicable.
All right.
It was wonderful speaking to you, man.
Thanks
I'm looking
again
forward
for
to being
on.
On your show a third time.
Yeah, well, there's a third set of questions. But
cool.
I haven't started them yet.
All right. Lots of love.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you.